Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Not all of the judgments of God are bad, to be feared. Not all of the judgments of God are designed to punish and to chastise. In Revelation chapter 11, I want us to look at verses 18 and 19. As we focus attention upon the judgment of rewards, the judgment of rewards. The seventh trumpet will signal the final judgment of God upon the earth. When that seventh trumpet sounds, then the final judgments, the bowl judgments that you have in Revelation chapter 19 will be poured out, 16, 17, 18 will be poured out upon the earth. And again, those will take place in very rapid succession and will be completed within a matter of days, even a few weeks. And then will come the end. So the seventh trumpet sounding will signal those final judgments of God. It will also prepare the earth for the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, that kingdom that will be established here in the earth, where Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon the throne of David from Jerusalem, a literal, physical, earthly kingdom. And it will be a 1,000-year reign there in Jerusalem. And he will reign over all of the earth for 1,000 years, after those final judgments have come. The seventh trumpet is also going to signal, here you find in Revelation 11, it will also signal the time has come for the dead to be judged. This is one of three judgments that the Scripture speaks about. And so I want to kind of go over this with you to help us clarify what the judgments for the saints are really all about, because there has been questions as to what's going to happen to those who follow Jesus. So we die, we go on to heaven, and that's it. Is there something else that we should be anticipating? Yes, there is. There is a judgment for the believer. There is a judgment for the follower of God. There is a judgment for the righteous, as well as a judgment for the unrighteous. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. So when the kingdom of Jesus comes, at the end of the bowl judgments, when he establishes his kingdom here in the earth, a judgment will take place. And in this particular passage in Revelation chapter 11, it's the judgment of the righteous during the days of the tribulation. Look at verse 18. Revelation 11, 18. I hope you brought your Bibles with you, because we're going to be using them this morning as we go back and forth in the Old and New Testaments. Look at Revelation 11, 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. The time of the dead that they should be judged. Notice that those who are going to be judged at this particular point in time, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Those who are going to be judged at this particular time are those righteous, holy followers of the Lord God, those whom he says are the servants and the prophets and the saints, and those who fear the name of the Lord, whether they're known, whether they're popular or not, whether they are acknowledged by peoples in certain areas or not, all who have died in the days of the tribulation, those who have held to the name of Jesus Christ during the days of trouble, will be judged at this particular point in time in Revelation chapter 11. Now, this judgment has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It has nothing to do with one's eternal destination. It has to do with the issuing of rewards for faithful service and for a faithful witness during the days of the tribulation. That's what he says here. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants. So it's not about heaven or hell. It's about the receiving of rewards for faithful servants. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn left, and you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul talks about a judgment for the believer. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. And I remind you that Paul is writing to a Christian church in Corinth. He's writing to a Christian church situated in Corinth, and in this letter he says in verse 10, we must all appear, all of us, all of the saints in Corinth, Paul included, all of the saints everywhere they're found in whatever church they may be a part of, all across the face of the earth. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now this is the bema, the governor's seat, the governor's judgment of Christ. And it is a judgment of Jesus upon all of the believers, all of those who have followed Jesus, all of those who have served the Lord, all of those who have been witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ during this age that we're living in, the church age, the age of grace. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about a judgment that you and I are going to face. I'm going to face it. You're going to face it. We're all going to face it. It's not a judgment of heaven and hell, because those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ have passed from death to life. Amen? Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus have been brought out of darkness and into his light. Amen? Those who've been saved by Jesus have their sins forgiven, and they have eternal life. They're not going to face hell. So this is not a judgment of heaven or hell. This is a judgment of rewards. And this bema judgment is going to take place after we are raptured, after we're taken out of the earth and ushered into heaven before the tribulation begins. It's a judgment of rewards for faithful service. But the judgment in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, this is a judgment of the righteous who have believed in Jesus Christ during the days of the tribulation and who have died for their faith in those days of trouble. They're going to be resurrected when Jesus establishes his kingdom here in the earth, and they will be rewarded for their faithful witness and their service during the days of the tribulation. Go to Revelation chapter 20. You're going to turn right and go to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verses 11 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the great white throne judgment of God. And this judgment is going to be placed upon all of the Old Testament saints and all of the unrighteous from the beginning of creation. The Old Testament saints will be rewarded for their faithfulness and for their service to the Lord God, and the unrighteous will be punished and judged for their sin in rejecting God's grace and God's mercy, God's love, and God's salvation. This punishment will determine heaven and hell. This punishment will determine the degrees of punishment in hell, and it will also determine the degree of reward for the Old Testament saints in heaven. So here we have three different judgments that are spoken of in the New Testament. You have the judgment of the Christian church that takes place after we're raptured from the earth and into heaven, and that will take place while the tribulation is going on here on the earth. Then after the tribulation is over, when Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom here in the earth, those who have believed in Christ, who have served the Lord God, and who have been faithful witnesses of Christ during the days of the tribulation, they will be raised from the dead and judged for their service and rewarded for their service. And then at the end of time, after all has been said and done and time is no more, all who have not been raised prior to that time will stand before the Lord God, the Old Testament saints, as well as all of the unrighteous of all in time. They will stand before the Lord God and they will be judged for their service. John wrote, Look at verse 20. I mean, look at chapter 20, verses 12 and 13 again. I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God. The books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works. Understand here. And it's very easy for people to read these passages and say, well, salvation then must be based upon my works. No. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about reward. You're saved. I'm saved by one means only, and that's by the grace of God. Amen? We're saved by faith in the promise of God presenting to us a Messiah, one that we can believe in, who will bear our sins and who will cancel out the punishment for our sins. We're saved by grace, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So these judgments, where people are going to be judged according to what they've done in this life, it's not for salvation, it's not for heaven or hell, it's for the reward. The reward that they're going to receive as they enter into glory, or the punishment, the degree of punishment they're going to receive as they enter into hell. Is it important then for us, who are believers, to be careful how we live our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. Eternal reward in the kingdom of God depends upon how you live your Christian life. Because again, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, in Revelation 11, and again in Revelation 20, the judgment of rewards is based upon one's conduct, one's service, one's faithfulness in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important how you live your life as a Christian. Your eternal rewards depend upon it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know there are people who really don't care, Christian people, who really don't care how they live their lives. It doesn't really bother them if they read the Word of God, if they share the Word of God with others. They don't really care if they pray or not. They don't care if they go to church or not. They don't care if they bear witness to any lost soul or not. I know that there are Christian people who are just happy to have their fire insurance. They're happy, you know, to walk. They walked an aisle. They were baptized. They've named the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then they go back living the way they used to live before they ever made any profession of faith. And it doesn't bother them at all that they're not committed Christians, that they're not faithful servants, that they're not followers of Jesus Christ. And it's because they haven't read the Word of God and they haven't understood that once we come into the kingdom of God, that God keeps records on how we live our lives. And there is reward to be received for faithful service. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward. Huh? Again, Paul is writing to a Christian church, and he's talking to them about Christian things. And he says, he who plants and he who waters are one. They're the one and the same individual. You know, we're working in concert with each other. Those who plant the seeds of the gospel and those who nurture individuals and cultivate individuals and disciple people into the kingdom of God, we're basically doing the same thing. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers and are God's field. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed. Now this is a warning. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's Paul's way of saying there's no other way to be saved other than by faith in Jesus Christ. You're not saved by going to church. You're not saved by memorizing large portions of Scripture. You're not saved by giving great amounts of money to church or to missions or to evangelism. You're not saved by living a good life. You're not saved by being a moral person. You're not saved by being a great citizen. You're only saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is only one foundation upon which the Christian life is built, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? That needs to be crystal clear in everyone's thinking.
You're not saved because you're a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal. You're saved because Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You are saved because you've confessed your sinfulness to Him and you've received Him into your heart as the one who is able to save you from death and from hell and from the penalty of sin. Amen? There's no other foundation upon which your life can be built than Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, faithful service, genuine fellowship and fellowship in Jesus Christ, bearing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, living according to the teachings of the Word of God, letting the light of Jesus Christ shine in your life, being salt and light in the world, following the Master wherever He would have you go, fulfilling the will of God in your life. All of these things are the gold and the silver and the precious stones that He talks about. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day, that is the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, again, the judgments of God. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Those who are careless in their Christian lives, those who are carnal in their Christian lives, those who don't give two hoots and a holler about living for Jesus, those who don't dedicate themselves and commit themselves to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they reach the other side, they may gain the eternal life, they may gain the eternal kingdom, but they will have no reward to show for their service here in the earth. But those who commit their lives to Jesus, to serve Him in the home, to be a faithful witness to mom and to dad, to brother, to sister, to son and to daughter, to husband and to wife, those who continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ and let the light of Jesus shine through them when they're at work, when they're at school, when they're out in the community, when they're engaged in social activities, those who continue to live by the truths of God's Word and the principles and the ordinances and the statutes and the commandments of God's Word, those individuals will receive great reward in the kingdom of God. But those who don't, won't. And again, Paul makes that abundantly clear. Not only in 1 Corinthians, but in 2 Corinthians, not only in the book of the Revelation in two different places, but it's seen throughout all of Scripture that God rewards those who are faithful in serving Him. Now, what is the reward that's promised to the faithful? Glad you asked. The rewards are numerous in Scripture. First of all, they will inherit the millennial kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 25. You're at 1 Corinthians, so turn left and let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, look at verses 34 to 40. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Let's go back up to 31 and get the context. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, that's when He establishes the kingdom. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory and all the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another as a sheep divided his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those in His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did them to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Service. Faithful service, Christian service, living the life of Jesus, rather letting Jesus live His life in you and through you. As you minister faithfully to others, you're ministering to Jesus Christ. They will inherit the kingdom. But they'll not only inherit the millennial kingdom, they'll also inherit the eternal kingdom. Revelation 21, 7. Let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Backing up to verse 6, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega. Revelation 21, 6, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountains of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes will inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake of which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are faithful to the Lord will not only inherit the millennial kingdom here in the earth, but the eternal kingdom that will come in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. But not only will they inherit the kingdom, they will also inherit crowns. Three crowns of reward are mentioned by Paul and by James in Scripture. First of all, there's the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8, Paul says, the time of my departure has come. I've run the good race, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord God will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all of those who are faithful. There is a crown of righteousness, a reward for righteous living. In James chapter 1, verse 12, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, there is the crown of life. Those who are faithful to follow Jesus Christ here in this life, who give up their lives here to live for Jesus Christ, they will receive the crown of life in glory. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, there is the crown of glory that they will receive for bringing honor and glory and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a final reward. Not only will they inherit the kingdom, the millennial kingdom here in the earth, not only will they inherit the eternal kingdom when the new heaven and new earth comes, not only will they receive crowns of life, crowns of righteousness, and crowns of glory, but there is a final reward found here in Revelation chapter 11. Let's go back there, and I will conclude. Revelation chapter 11. Let's look at verse 19. Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven. The ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquakes, and great hail. This is the reward of unbroken fellowship with God, perfect and complete. We spoke about this on Wednesday evening. It will be at this time, with this reward, that we will see God the Father face to face, something that no human being has ever done. Scripture tells us no man can look upon the face of God and live. He is so holy, he is so righteous, and we are so sinful that we cannot look upon him and live. But there is coming a day, dear friends, when the temple of God, that place where God resides in glory, that temple will be opened to anyone and to everyone. And we will have access, we will be able to go into that great temple, and we will be able to look upon the face of God our Father. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and in the temple. The presence of God was known in the Holy of Holies. And no man was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed to enter into that sacred room. But in the kingdom, every individual will be able to have access to the Lord God in his holy temple. Notice here also in verse 19, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned. In his holy temple in heaven, the Ark of the Covenant rests. This symbolizes the covenant of God, the covenant of salvation that he's made with men through Jesus Christ, his Messiah. In the Old Testament, on that ark, the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled, securing salvation from sin, but it had to be administered every year. In the new kingdom, in heaven, salvation will be made perfect and complete forever. There is not going to be any annual renewal of the sprinkling of blood. There's not going to be any annual renewal of confession of faith. There will be perfect and complete salvation forever. Above the Old Testament ark, the Lord spoke with Moses. But in heaven, our fellowship with the Lord God will be all it should have been before sin entered the human experience. Inside the Old Testament ark was the golden jar of manna, symbol of God's provision of the children of Israel during the 38 years wandering in the wilderness of Sinai. But in heaven, God will provide for his people forever. In the Old Testament ark was Aaron's rod that budded, symbol of the living authority of God over his people. But in glory, the Lord God will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever over his people, and they will submit willingly and joyfully to his sovereign reign over them. In the Old Testament ark were the tablets of the law written by the finger of God. That law perfected in Jesus will also be perfected in each and every one of us when we gain access into that eternal kingdom. So here is a bright ray of hope. Here is a word of encouragement. Here is a word of joy given to each and every one of us in the midst of trial, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the fury of God's judgments. The doors to God's holy temple are opened, and everyone who is willing will have access into that glorious and great temple. The question is, will you be one who walks into the presence of the Lord in that holy place? Will you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you have that eternal life that he's promised? Will you receive the reward of the millennial kingdom and the eternal kingdom? Will you receive the reward of the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory? Will you enjoy fellowship with God forever? These are the great judgments of God that await all who follow him faithfully. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you encourage us in your word to be faithful. Lord, I know that we are sinful people. And I know, Lord God, that daily we are tempted and we are tried to turn away. That Satan moves against us to ruin our fellowship with you. That, Lord, the world does all that it can to destroy our faith, to compromise our witness. And, Lord God, we allow our affections to take control of our lives, and so we are disobedient to you. Father, I pray that everyone who names the name of Jesus here this morning will realize the necessity, how imperative it is, Lord God, that we follow after you faithfully. We obey you completely. We live our lives to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We do not live our lives to satisfy the things of the flesh, to satisfy the desires of the world. We live our lives to bring honor and glory to Jesus. And for that, Lord God, you've promised that we will be rewarded for faithful service and for obedience. But to those, Lord God, who live cavalierly, who live, Lord God, without any thought of bringing honor to your name, those individuals, Lord God, will not receive reward. They will not have the blessings of these promised things to their name as they gain entrance into that kingdom. Father, I pray that you will impress upon us today the importance of serving you faithfully, of obeying you fully and completely, of walking with you sincerely, of being committed, Lord God, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. For that individual who doesn't know the Savior, for that individual who's never trusted in Jesus Christ, I pray that today they'll realize that they will miss the kingdom. They will miss eternal life. They will be relegated with the unrighteous into the lake of fire, which is the second death, if death should overtake them here in this life, having never professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that today they'll come and make sure their salvation in you by believing today that you are the Son of the true and living God, that you died upon the cross and rose from the dead to give us salvation from sin.
And Father, for brothers and sisters in the Lord today, I pray that you will burden our hearts also to come and to renew and to recommit our life to you, to begin today to live faithfully, to live committedly, to live, Lord God, with one goal in mind, and that's to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ every day that we live until Christ calls us home. May that be our goal. May that be our aim. May that be our heart's desire, I pray in Jesus' name. Stand with me if you will. David is going to lead us in this time of invitation. And as we sing, if your heart's desire is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, come and meet me here at the altar. And we'll pray together that you might trust in Jesus Christ. Christian friend, if you need to come and renew your covenant with Jesus, if you need to come and recommit your life to serving Jesus Christ, if your heart's desire is to bring honor and glory to Him in this life, and to receive the great rewards that He's promised to you in the life which is to come, then you come and make that commitment today. David, lead us as we sing.
Says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.